Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So it's been a little bit of a while. Welcome back to another episode of Togetherness. It's a little bit delayed. I do apologise, but it's good to be back. Very lucky in this episode to have been talking to Jess Impiazzi, actress, also author. An incredibly kind and inspiring lady who I had the pleasure of connecting with during this coronavirus pandemic. We connected on Twitter and she does a lot of kind stuff. She's a lovely person, very inspirational. And she's just, well, not just, but she's released her book, Silver Linings. And this shows Jess's life story that even through the best and the worst times, it's possible to find the silver linings. A very powerful, inspiring book, and one that I've been reading and getting a lot of inspiration, and it's picked me up through dark times. It's given me the drive, even through what's been a really tough period recently, which is why this is delayed. And I've read it, and it's just picked me up so much. So how's everyone been? It's like I said, it's been a bit of a while. I've been going through some stuff as well, and it's really important that we allow ourselves to have a bit of a break. So that's exactly what I've been doing. Now we're almost out of the COVID pandemic. Well, I say almost, we hope. Restrictions are lifting in the UK. We're all feeling a little bit better, but we're all very anxious, you know, post-lockdown anxiety, something which is really coming to light recently. But anyway, let me stop rambling on and let's get on to the interview with Jess. Now my Alexa came to life in the middle of this and I keep trying to edit it out. But it doesn't want to work. So you can have a bit of a laugh. Both Jess and myself had a bit of a laugh with this. And you'll notice. But hey ho, these things happen in life, eh? So anyway, without further ado, here is the interview with Jess. And I'd like to just thank her for taking time out of her busy schedule. And for having the chance to talk. Like, what a lovely and truly inspiring lady. So here we go.
Hello.
How are you anyway? Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah, just moved house this week. Not day of the week it is. What are we on? Saturday. Yeah, I've been moving house. I moved on Thursday, so I'm all set up now, I think. So, yeah. I'm lucky I even managed to work the internet.
Moving house is so stressful. Like, I moved here, well, middle of last year. It's the worst thing. Like,
I'm not a fan of moving. I remember with my ex-husband, he played rugby. So I think I moved about 5 times in one year. And I was just like, no, I don't want to do it again. So I'm not leaving here for a long time. They'll have to pull me out kicking and screaming.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Obviously, we've spoken on the social media hemisphere, whatever you want to call it. You've done quite a lot. I've been reading more into you as well. I hope that didn't sound really weird.
No, of course not.
but no, you've done so much, and your book has just come out as well, isn't it, Jess?
Yeah.
It's really hard hitting, and it resonates a lot. And I think a lot of people, you've done some reality TV, and for some people watching, they almost forget that you're a person as well, don't they? And the story behind, I'll let you introduce yourself as well, Jess. Tell us a bit about yourself and a bit about your story as well.
Sure. So I'll go right back, I suppose. I went to theatre, not too far back, I'll just go from here because I never know where to start. I went to theatre school. That was my main thing. I think as a kid, that's all I ever wanted to do was act, dance and sing. I think when I was younger, we lived next door to a pub and it had a stage. And my mum used to go into the pub, and in one of the rooms there was a stage, and I used to get all the kids all around the pub and make them do plays. And I used to do it with my little cousins, dress them up as little elves at Christmas just to perform to the family. So I knew that's what I always wanted to do. And from that, I got into theatre school. But whilst I was trying to do all the theatre stuff, I had some domestic violence going on at home. And I didn't really, I think dancing, acting and singing was my release from all of that. Then I went on from that. My mum went blind, my nephew died of meningitis. It was all quite a lot, and I was 17 when that all happened. So when that came about, I ended up going to I ended up having to drop out of theatre school because it was just a lot to take on at that age, and I hadn't really had any help or dealt with what I'd seen as a kid with the domestic violence, and I think it all just packed into this one big explosion, I suppose, inside me, where I didn't know how to feel happy because I was unaware that I had post-traumatic stress disorder from the kids seeing this stuff. And I probably would assume that losing my nephew didn't help all of that and made things worse. So I ended up leaving to help look after my mum as well at the time. And then I kind of just spiraled and got in a really bad headspace, which is when I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know, I thought my acting career was done. I thought I couldn't do anything else. And I just got really depressed. But then reality TV came around and I just went and did it because I thought to be behind in front of a camera, at least it's something. And I kind of didn't know who I was or what I wanted anymore. And in a way, it helped because it gave me this new focus, I suppose. But at the same time, it's a cutthroat kind of evil industry, especially with social media now, which isn't always the nicest place. But again, there's two sides to everything. Just as social media is bad, there's so much good on there, like how we've connected, how I've connected with loads of other people. There's so much good about it, but there's so much bad. It's like the yin and the yang in everything in life. There's always good and bad. You just got to try and focus on the good. Jumped into reality TV. It was in Celebrity Big Brother where I kind of got my turnaround point because I thought I need to do this acting. I met a few, I was on Year of the Woman one, and that had, Amanda Barry, she was 82 at the time. And back then she'd done everything. She'd been acting her whole life on stage, on TV, in theatre, the whole lot. And she said to me, you've got to do it. Go for your dreams. And that's when I came out and started doing the movies again. During that, I ended up getting divorced. So it was just like this constant string of stuff going on that was just crippling me inside and I wasn't fixing. And I suppose it wasn't until I filed for divorce where it was almost like I explained it to people like it was my rock bottom, but it wasn't necessarily a bad thing, because that I realized I didn't want to live in that mindset anymore. And I think it was the catalyst to be like, okay, now it's time to do your thing, like get out there and do it. Because if you're not happy like this, the cycle has gone on for so many years now that it's just not working. So you've got to do something else. And so I started reading a lot and just learning about the mind, because it's actually a really...
I think my other half's connected to the speaker and probably not realised. What's that? you've had, like, reading through your book, like, all of those experiences that you've had, like, they build you, but it takes so much strength to kind of pull yourself out of this dark place, doesn't it? And navigating the press as well.
Yeah. That was always quite hard, because on one foot, it was great for my career and, you know, it was helping me in other aspects, like building a platform. But I wasn't using it right. I was just like, oh, I'm going to be a drunk idiot and post that I'm drunk. And I was like, well, this isn't really helpful for you. And if it's not helpful for you, it's not helpful for others. So as I say, it wasn't until after the divorce where I was like, actually, I'm changing my whole life around. And going back to, it was almost like I had my theatre school years. Then there was the crazy 20s where I just completely went off the rails. I was never off the rails, as in, like, I never touched drugs. I'm not interested in drugs. I'm not interested in any of that. I was just drinking all the time, going out, because I'd get annoyed of life and go out drinking, have a hangover, and then be a bit pissed off again, and then, oh, off I go again. And it was just I didn't heal. I went and distracted myself with unhealthy distractions, whether it be boyfriends that I knew weren't right for me, whether it be going out and having fun all the time and not focusing on anything to do with the career. And I was just a bit lost. I think that's the only way to say. I didn't know where I fitted in life, and I didn't have my focus or my purpose. I was just dilly-dallying along, and that was making me depressed, because I've always had such a drive for the acting, and I've always loved writing. As a kid, I used to write. I mean, I'm not a professional writer by any means, and I wrote that book, but I didn't know how to do it. I just knew that I had to do something, and something that I love, and find my purpose again. And I think once you find that, and your purpose can be anything. It doesn't have to be something extravagant and grand, like we see on social media. It's like, oh, unless you're a billionaire, you know, you're not making it. And it's like, things aren't to do with money. And that's how I got a bit lost as well. I always thought money proved to others that I was a success. So I was living this life I couldn't afford and getting myself in trouble. And to me now, success is to be happy in yourself. It's not about what car you have or what bag you've got. And I think you get so caught up in that, especially with the social media of everyone comparing everything all the time, that it is a real place where you can get depressed, because you think you're not a success because you don't have these things. But that's not what success is. Success is literally being happy in yourself and living the life that you feel comfortable with. I think we get a bit lost on our values these days because it's chucked in our faces, which is all a marketing thing. It's like, it's so deep when you go into it. It's the way you've been conditioned by TV adverts, by beauty magazines, but this is to be happy. And it's not. That's how, if you keep striving, you're never going to be happy. You've got to be happy in the moment that you're alive. We always look too far in the past or too far in the future. We forget to live now. And if you're doing that all the time, you're never going to be happy, because every time you do a step, it will wear off quickly because you're looking for the next bit in the future. We need to find the beauty in the moment.
I think, do you think in lockdown, especially the situations that everyone's in at the moment, I think that's probably been it's been a good thing, because people have started to realise actually the simplicity of life. But however, because we're all online now, I mean, there was a statistic that came out this week of, you know, young children as young as 12 on Instagram, on TikTok, are looking at these social media profiles. They're getting so self-conscious, thinking they're not worthy. Like, how would you tackle that?
See, this actually is a hard one, because I've got a 13-year-old niece, and I've been having her over for homeschooling, kept her in the bubble to help her, because her parents and my nephew's parents are key workers, so I needed to help out. So she's been homeschooling with me, and I do notice that every now and then I'm catching her on TikTok, and I don't know, because I'm not her parent, it's so tough, but it does worry me, because I do see all these things like, you know, Auntie Jess is this challenge and it's Nicki Minaj wriggling her butt, and I'm like, oh Christ.
Oh no.
Why? So I'm like, well, let's look at other ones. And I tried to explain to her, you know, how social media is not real. You know, and I try and give a very positive real life with her so that she's not looking at other things. And I mean, I don't know how to fix this situation because it is, I mean, I don't think anyone can really say how to fix it. It needs to be the social media companies. They need to be, I mean, I've always said they should have, just like, hey, you have a car license, you should have a license to prove who you are on these things, because that would stop being, and you can get it taken away. Because there is none of these laws, people are getting away with anything. Like some of the things I've seen pop up, like pages that promote anorexia or pages that promote, you know, other toxic bad things, there's nothing being done about them. They sometimes get wiped, but someone can just reload an account the next day and carry on. And that frightens me. But there needs to be in place from the companies, they need to have stricter laws, because they're getting they're not wanting that to happen, but they're not doing anything about it. And I think that really does sit with them, and they should be held responsible for it. If you're going to have a platform that big, like any other company, whether it be plastic bottle making companies, they've now had to change what they do and recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Affecting the planet. Well, this is now affecting the planet because it's affecting children, and that should be our key. You know, we don't want a generation of children all messed up because of social media, and they need to take responsibility, and they have to have laws in place. And I just hope at some point in the very, very near future that is something that they think about.
I think this is, yeah, and especially with ads. I had a conversation with someone the other day about, you know, Facebook, Twitter ads. You know, these companies put so much money into advertising their own social media, their own products, but especially with these diets. I've seen it more and more during lockdown that these, they're not healthy diets either. There's so many different ones, but they're making money out of this, which is causing so much pain, misery, and especially the fashion industry as well. I didn't realize it before moving in with my partner, actually, how toxic the female fashion industry is. Like, you'll go into one shop, the sizes won't be generic to what the other shop is.
Yeah.
And that caused so many issues for so many women, young girls. Like, just all of these things. I don't know if it's something that take a while.
It's a tough one as well. Like, I mean, when I first came off of MTV, Instagram was a pretty new thing, and that was what was popping up on mine. And I was getting, at the time, these paid posts. And I thought, oh, yeah, cool, with no thought. I mean, I was 23 at the time, 24 something, and I didn't even think. I was just posting up, like, these slim teas, and I was drinking it, and I was getting quite unwell. They're laxatives, basically. And I was just, oh yeah, I'll post that, drink that, because I was doing it. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, because I was obviously messed up myself with body image, that I couldn't see a problem. And it wasn't until I kind of fixed myself and I thought, holy crap, like, I should not be doing this. And I suddenly just, I just said, I am never posting anything like that again. Like, this is unhealthy, this is dangerous. But it took me to notice that. And this should be, you know, found from the, what's the place where they have to tick off things if they're acceptable for consumption of humans. That this should be something that is the law. Because, you know, 23-year-old me that was just prancing around off of reality TV getting paid to put a picture of myself on the internet, I didn't think. And, you know, a lot of these younger people that are doing these posts don't really see an issue because they don't get it themselves. So it's dangerous. But now when I kind of sat back and was like, hold on a minute, this is not healthy. This is making me have an eating disorder nearly, because I'm drinking tea so I don't eat. It's like, what? It's crazy. But they just, I think that's now been locked down a bit more. I think with Jamelia Jamil, you know, the actress, she really made a campaign about these booties and all these slim teas. And I think that was a really good turning point to make people realize that's not okay, when you've got the Kardashians posting about how to get slim on these shakes and stuff. But it just shows you how toxic and dangerous it is, because I was completely in the mindset of the people marketing it to me, because I was like, oh yeah, that sounds great, people love that, I love that. And actually all it was doing was making me not feel great drinking laxatives every day. Like, that's dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to your, like, acting career, like, because in your book, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to it, you can play a different part and kind of step into a completely different universe, can't you? What's been your favourite character to play?
Oh, God. So I did a film about 2 years ago. It's still not released because it was supposed to come out all in 2020, but I think we'll just write that year off altogether. So it should be out in the first quarter of this year, I think by April, so fingers crossed. But I got to play an AI kind of robotic intelligence kind of character. That was really hard because at acting school, and when I went back to adult acting classes in Manchester when I was older, after Big Brother, you'd learn how to tap into different emotions to be a different part. But when you're a robot, that kind of goes out the window. So
how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't even know if I've done a good job yet. I'll soon find out.
I'm sure you have.
But yeah, that was fun because it was so, I almost had to be like away with the fairies every day. And I kind of enjoyed that. The one before that was a horror film, and I ended up being the demon, which was so much fun to do because I'm normally like so cheery and happy and running around with everyone and talkative. Suddenly being this demonic, awful human being, that was just so different to my normal life that you can kind of go a bit wacky with it. So that was always good fun. And I'm actually filming again, hopefully in May. I've got my script, so we've done some Zoom rehearsals, and it's like a zombie comedy. Now I'm really looking forward to that because I've done sketches of comedy and they've always made me really laugh during filming. It's like the best thing to do because you just can't stop laughing. And on the Zoom rehearsals, we've been in pieces, like we've had to really stop because we've been laughing so much. So I'm really looking forward to that character. Because, yeah, zombie comedy is like, you know, cross between The Hangover and Shaun of the Dead. And I just think it's going to be super fun. And it's something brilliant. New. I'm like kind of new coming back to it. I've kind of rebooted this career and doing what I've trained for and what I love. So, like, any role that comes on, I just go for it with everything. And, I just love them all. I think I'm just lucky to have kind of gone full circle and kind of break out of reality into the films again. So I just get really excited for any part that comes up.
Oh, that sounds so cool. Zoom rehearsals, that must be like extremely weird and difficult at the same time. I hope maybe they might, I don't know, but will they include the outtakes from a Zoom rehearsal? How do you adapt to something like that?
But you know, on the script, you've got like your actions and your movements. So it's kind of like, you're talking to the guy on the screen, but you're like, oh, you watch so-and-so walk away. So you're like this, and then like, how do I do this? Because you're there, but this is cool.
Oh, that's amazing. It will set, I guess it's a new experience, isn't it? And the way things are done now, do you think it will shape the way that we, that TV and, you know, all these movies kind of work, saving money as well?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Because seeing that, you know, if I think it will help a lot of actors in the respect of a lot of the time, you know, some people might live in Scotland and the rehearsals in London and they have to go down for a day. Well, maybe they could start doing it like this. I think it would change a lot of things. There's nothing like being in the room together to really go for it. But table reads, for instance, that can be done now on Zoom. And I think, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's nice to meet everyone, as I say, but if we're in this circumstance, it's a means to an end. And, you know, at least everyone gets to meet each other. It's almost like you're face to face. So, well, you technically are, but just not in 4D. I think it will save a lot of money and a lot of time for people. And I mean, even auditions, you self tape rather than go in. I do like going into auditions, but I get so nervous. So I've got that now when I have an audition, I can retape it loads of times until I'm happy and then send it in. So you can be like, okay, I'm really happy with that. Because, I mean, any actor or, you know, people in that industry will know that when you go into the room, sometimes your nerves can take over and then you come out the room like, I could have done that so much better. But you get the chance to now. So I'm not going to complain about self-tapes now.
How do you get over that point of anxiety as well? Because that's
fun. Because I used to get it really bad and I'd nail it at home. I'd go into the room and panic and then ruin the whole audition process. And it wasn't until I kind of learned meditation helps all the time. I meditate every day just to calm, and you can work on your breathing. But when I learned, it was again living in the moment kind of thing, because I wanted to act, I wanted to be back into what I love doing, but I was so worried about the outcome of it that I would ruin the audition and I didn't enjoy the audition. But being an actor, that's one of the main things, is the auditions rather than actually having the job, because you can have 100 auditions and only book one job. So, you know, it's enjoying that process. And once you enjoy it, it's like with anything. If you talk to someone that you know is loving something, you feed off their vibes. When someone is happy and doing what they love, you walk into somewhere, like in a restaurant, when you see the cook cooking up his food and he's loving it, you're like, yeah, this restaurant's sick. And like, it's the same when you go into the audition. If you're nervous and on edge, the people are going to feel that energy and they're probably not going to enjoy the audition either. But when you realise they want you to succeed, they want you to do well because it's going to make their job easier. And you just enjoy it and have fun. So what if you go wrong? They can feel the vibes. If they're going to feel that, you're going to nail the audition. You've got to enjoy it. Like, just don't even think about the outcome. Don't think about the future of it. Think of the now, and oh, I'm getting to do this in front of these people. This is great. And enjoy that moment. And I think we get so... our nerves are always brought in, and worry and anxiety is always brought in by thinking of an outcome. But we don't know what the outcome's going to be because we can't tell the future.
Do you know what? You'd be great doing a like workshop training, like just in schools. That's something that schools need, doesn't it? Like, and again, the social media part comes into play so much. It's seeing what other people are doing. You're just worrying about yourself, aren't you? There's not enough.
Like the schools. Like at school, when you was at school and was at school, do you remember having a teacher that really loved it? All the kids are well behaved and they're engaged and they're listening. But when you go into, maths, I sucked at maths, and every maths teacher I've had has been horrifically terrifying. And then I was too scared to learn because I was on edge because he was so like angry and I couldn't learn. But if I go into other classes and the teacher's like making everything fun and you can see they're enjoying their job,
you engage more.
Automatically enjoy it back. It's human nature. You give off the energy and you receive it and give it, and then it just works.
I think we're seeing that more as well, even with the homeschooling. Like looking on the news the other day, they're trying to encourage kids just to get up, make it a bit more fun, a bit more vibrant, because it's difficult just sitting down at a desk doing your work, being told what to do. I totally agree with what you said about maths teachers.
Fun out of life. I don't understand why it has to be done. If we look back, we always saw, in the office, everyone's bored. They like anything with on adverts, everything's gloomy and dull, and it's like, why does it have to be like that? We can make everything fun. Just because things are fun doesn't mean you're not serious about your work. You can be serious about your work but make it fun. If everyone found the fun in what they do, you'd have a happier generation of people.
Exactly. I started out at McDonald's. I remember when I was 16 and my first job was at McDonald's, and everyone used to go, you're working at McDonald's. I used to stand in the drive-thru and just make it into like a Tinder, like just whatever. And it was so much fun, like the wonderful land of McDonald's, and everyone loved it. But I loved going into work. I could just be a bit of a knob, have a laugh.
I was the same. I was working at a gym, and it's not what I wanted to do. I wasn't acting, but I had such a laugh with everyone there. And even the people that would like come in and use the gym, I made such good friends with everyone because they have a chat, go through their membership, be like, yeah, let's do this, have fun. I'd play tricks on people all the time, like the other. And everything doesn't have to be serious. As long as you're enjoying and doing your job, you don't need to make, like, we always lose our inner child as we get older because we think, oh, bills, this. It doesn't mean you can't have fun, because then you just get sad.
Oh, exactly. I have to bring up watching MTV the other day, Just a Tattoo of Us. I love that program. It did cause a bit of a debate with me and my other half. How do you go? Like, they tell you to decide beforehand for something nice or something horrible. One, you dealt with a ghost.
Still there.
Admirably well. I loved what you did, back there. That must have been terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't best pleased. And I'm actually at the moment, I'll show you later, but I'll turn around. I'm having laser removal on it, which, might I add, is a lot more painful than the tattoo itself. So I do not advise going on that show. You may get paid well, but the money's all gone and the tattoo's still here. So let's think forward on that only.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but I've got just a drunk avocado, like, waving on my finger.
That's kind of cool. I love an avocado.
I've got Don't Suffer in Silence spelt wrong. But hey-ho.
These things happen, right?
Things happen. Like
stories. I've got shush written on my finger here, but the S came off. So it now just says, we have many things that go wrong.
You get confused, you just hold up your finger. Oh, dear. So going back, like, you promote a lot of kindness, a lot of good messages on your social media, stuff that the world really needs right now. And like you said earlier, there needs to be more safeguards around it. So these companies are just, it's all money focused. Mm-hmm. It's a load of BS. What if you could give any message to any child or young person, even adults, in this time at the moment who are just doubting themselves? You know, there's financial issues, people losing their jobs. Like, what would you say to really build them up and just keep going?
I think you just have to be kind to yourself as well. Like, I think happy people wouldn't hurt other people. I've always said that. Like, you know, when I've been down in the dumps, I've judged others, I've done this, but we're in a time where it's, none of us have lived through something like this before. This is new to everyone and it's bloody scary, but be open to feel those feelings. So I think a lot of the time we try and, you know, deflect anything, and we'll look at the news and be like, oh, this person's an idiot for saying this, and we'll go on Instagram or Twitter and be like having a go at this person because they're saying something about the pandemic, or this person's saying that and you don't agree. Just don't involve yourself in it. I honestly believe just keep working on inner you, because if you're directing to others, it doesn't matter what they say. Like, you know, take social media with a pinch of salt. There's fake news flying around everywhere, which makes people suddenly scientists all of a sudden. And it's like, just, you've got to do how you feel inside is right for you, and keep, you know, I don't mean keep it to yourself. I mean, like, when you're reading these news things and it's worrying you, I say switch off of that. Because my mum was watching the news the other day and started crying. And I said, well, why are you watching it if it's making you cry? Yeah, I know we need to be informed, but we can be informed without watching something for an hour's long. We can find out what we need to do to keep safe and keep others safe, and then we can switch off from it. And then we can find little things in our day that we know makes us feel better. Like, we, you know, money is an issue for everyone right now. It's a scary, scary time. And I can't say, you know, for people that are losing their homes and stuff, I'm terrified. It's awful. It's an awful thing that's happening. But we've got to be strong inside, because it's hard to get knocked down when you're feeling strong inside. And you've got to find things that you love. Like, it sounds silly. Like, even for me, if I just make myself a nice coffee every morning, I just feel, okay, this is me time, and I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to sit and have a meditation and clear my thoughts. I think meditation is really important because it anchors your thoughts for the day. And I know if I don't do it, it's the monkey mind, and the monks say, it just swings from branch to branch, and suddenly you've thought up this whole scenario that's probably not even going to happen. We are lucky in England, for instance, we have a government that supports you if you're in trouble. You could, you know, there's things that you can turn to, people you can turn to, services, charities that you can turn to. I think it's just really important to be kind to yourself. And that means switch off sometimes from things that make you feel sad.
And it's not selfish either. There's still this perception that, you know, the self-care, taking time for yourself, is just, you can't do that. Like, obviously look out for other people, but it's so important to just take time out to recharge.
It's imperative. Like, my mum is blind. My real dad's an alcoholic he was an alcoholic, but he's now got Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. And if I'm not okay myself, I find it incredibly difficult to help them. I really struggle, and then I start getting panicky. And if I'm off centre myself, I can't help anyone. You've got to fill up your own cup before you can help anyone else, because then you're not going to do as much good if you're not full yourself. So actually, self-care is not even selfish at all. It's actually the way you help others.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned that more and more over the last week. Like, it's been difficult. Like, and I think this lockdown seems to have hit so many people a lot harder.
Yeah.
I think one of the issues is in the news, when we go back to watching the news, the way it's kind of talking too soon about, oh yeah, so June will be out of lockdown, like these false hopes, and people are getting really like, oh yeah, we're going to be out by June, and then it's going back on it. And it just, the social media part for me has always been the hardest. You know, I was 13 when I came out of school, was bullied, mental health, all sorts. Like, I tried taking my own life. It was horrible. And then starting this campaign, which suddenly went global. And since then, I've always been very active on social media. But this week, I need to just take a step back.
Yeah.
It was almost worrying. I was still worrying about everyone else. Mm-hmm. But I just needed to kind of be on my phone or do that and post. And especially what you promote as well on your socials, is it's okay to talk about how you feel if you're having a bad day, especially at the moment when we can't have that one-to-one contact.
Yeah. Like, it is so important. And like, you have to recharge, because you can't just keep giving and not give yourself that love. And when you give yourself that time, and the, you know, this lockdown I found harder than the first one. The first one I was very regimented for my runs and I kept a schedule, and I breezed through it, to be quite honest. There was times when I was getting fed up, like we all were, but it never got to me bad. This lockdown, I haven't been out for runs because it's too cold. I don't like being cold. Haven't really exercised. And that was always my, if I ever felt anything, I could exercise and I could get the endorphins going and I'd be fine. This one I haven't. So I did struggle a bit more, but I allowed myself to do that and find other little things that I like to do. Rather than thinking, oh my God, I should be going out for a run and panicking, I thought, okay, be kind to yourself. How are you feeling right now? Do a bit of yoga in the front room. There you go. And I always think moving the body is very important because obviously it helps on all levels, not just physically, but mentally. You know, that, and going for walks, I'll take the dogs for like 2-hour walks. That to me, that's important just to get out because you have to self-motivate. But you also are allowed to have times you think, okay, actually, just be kind to me today. My body wants to sit and read a book for 2 hours. I'm going to sit and read a book for 2 hours. You know, I wouldn't do that normally. I would be out at the gym writing my book in the cafe because I have all these things to go, but we don't have that right now. So you've got to, you know, do what's right for you. And I mean, I do think you should, most people or people should be going out for walks just to get out of the house. You need the fresh air while you can, you know, on your little daily exercises that we're allowed. That's important. I think it's good for the mind. But, you know, even if you want to go for a 10-minute walk, get yourself out, feel the fresh air, come in, and then you still be kind to yourself. You want to read a book and not do anything else, read a book and not do anything else.
It's just that motivation, isn't it? It's that, yeah. That's the hardest point of it. But once you're out, it's like taking the dog out. I know I've got to do it for the dog.
Yeah.
But once I'm out there, I don't mind it as much. I've got my headphones in my own world. I can. Yeah.
And you actually come home feeling quite refreshed from these things. And if you don't want to go, you're like, oh, God. But once you're out, you're like, oh, actually, I'm kind of glad I did that because I feel refreshed.
Going on to your book, how was that for you, writing all of that? Because I read that and I've tried writing, like I've written, like even talking to like press about my background, my story, like going through that trauma. I'm saying like a lot, I don't know why. But you go through everything. How was that experience for you?
Quite refreshing, actually. Like I think the great thing was that I had to use a lot of self-discipline because, as I say, I was a theatre school kid, so I didn't know how to write a book. I didn't have any, I think I've got GCSEs and that's it in English and English Lit, so I didn't really know. I mean, theatre school, it's not the highest of your priorities back then to be thinking how to write a book. But like we said, we are in an age now where we can go on things like YouTube and watch authors and get advice from authors just from watching their videos. And there's so much on there on any career, really. So I just sat and made myself, I was like, okay, you want to do this, you're going to learn yourself. Richard Branson dropped out of school at 15. He's one of the richest men on earth, but he knew he knew what he wanted to do. And he knew he taught himself how to do it. And now he's got this big Virgin Atlantic company. I think the main thing for me was when I was writing it, just to make myself learn and teach myself. Once I taught myself, then the self-discipline came in because I had to sit and do it. Writing it was quite therapeutic because I just did it chapter by chapter, not even necessarily in order. I think that you can kind of tell that sometimes throughout the book, but each section that I knew was deep and important to me, I wrote about that. And then I thought, once that's done, I can figure this out, how to put it all together. But I've always spoken about any traumas that I've gone through very matter-of-factly. Like I'll say, well, my nephew died of meningitis, this happened, I was there, or my mum went blind, da-da-da-da, and talk about it in almost like a bullet point. But when I had to write about emotions, that was quite challenging because the chapter about my nephew Charlie, that was very hard to write. And I remember really having a good cry when I was writing that because it wasn't being written matter-of-factly anymore. It was how I felt, which I kind of blocked off. But then afterwards, I felt like I emptied something. And that's why everyone says it's so important to talk, because it is, you feel a release. Once you've got it out, it was almost like you let something go. Absolutely. And that's how I continued with it. And every chapter I wrote and put to the side, it released something. And it was really, really therapeutic.
No, it's an amazing, it's written very well. Like it sounds like it's from you. You read a lot of these books. I mean, I've this is the first book I've ever read. I've not even read a book. So there you go. And still doing it on an iPad, but you get it. I think everyone can relate to loads of parts, especially the social media. You can take so many quotes out as well. Like, even in darkness, you can find the light. There were just so many.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure there was, like, I know a lot of people relate to all this, because one thing I did find through talking was I wasn't the only one. There were so many people with all these things, whether it be family issues, anything. A lot of people have gone through similar things. And a lot of people, like myself back in the day, didn't know how to deal with that. But I've always said, well, not always, I've said since I've been healing and kind of fixing myself, that from everything, whether you perceive it as awfully, awfully awful or something really great, you can pull something out of that. And whether that awful thing is just a lesson, that's a positive, because you know that you won't do that again. So, you know, my nephew dying, I can't sit here and say, oh, I there's any positives from that, because there's nothing positive about losing a 13-month-old child. But what I did learn, which is the positive, was the lesson that life can be taken away at any moment. So you've got to live each day with this passion and drive and love and kindness, because you never know. You just never know. And that was my lesson. You just never know when your time is up. So live in this moment. It's so important. It's a hard thing to get your head around. I read Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now years ago, and I still couldn't do it. But, you know, sometimes I still think about, you know, the future, and I do think about the past, but I don't dwell there anymore. Whereas I would go off on little tangents in my brain for hours and be like, oh God, now I'm a failure. But if I'm here, actually, like right in this moment, I'm safe, I'm well, I'm healthy. That's all that matters. The only thing I've got right now is now.
Simplicity is key. Yeah. And I think it's a big lesson that we're all learning, you know, with the start of this pandemic, you know, lives being taken away. We didn't know if it was going to happen to us or our family members. It is tough. And I think one thing that I hope there's more support for is the PTSD and the trauma side of this, the fear of young people.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to really affect them. A lot of them have lost people, but the PTSD that's going to come out of this afterwards is going to be horrible. What does the future hold for you now, Jess? Is there going to be like a Jess biography part two?
I'm actually halfway through a book, but what this one is obviously Silver Linings was my story, pulling the silver linings out of it to help others find theirs. But this new book I'm working on is more about the tools I used. So I don't talk about my story as much. I can, you know, there'll be points where I relate to things to show people what I've done, but I wanted to do almost like a toolkit of what I did to get out of that place. Because I thought, you know, if I've used these and I use these things every day and people have read Silver Linings, I haven't explained in Silver Linings how I do every single thing each day. So I wanted to write something that could actually, people can put into their everyday. Be like, oh, okay, well, let's try this, try this, try this. Because we always get caught in this, I certainly did, this cycle of doing things and expecting different results. Well, then I started changing things and getting different results and being a bit, oh, how did that happen? Because you change something. Like, you have to change something for something to change. I'm writing this toolkit book, like a mini mind manual or something, I'm going to call it. But just to find the little tricks and the easy little day things that we don't realise can change every moment of our lives.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I can't wait for that. So, let us know when it comes out.
I will. I haven't got a publisher yet. I haven't even sent it to anyone. I'm just working on it every day. But again, I don't think too far. Just once it's done and I'm happy with my edit, send it off to an editor, find a publisher, and fingers crossed, it comes out and helps lots of people.
Oh, Jess, you're amazing. Like I said, book was so inspiring. The more and more I read your social media posts, you've been a lifesaver for a lot of people, and a lot of Giles as well. We all love Giles on social media. It's extremely powerful, especially now. So thank you for taking the time out to come and talk a bit. I'm not a professional interviewer. I'm finding my feet with this, but I just talk.
Yeah, you've got to jump in and talk, and this is how we change things. Just go for it. Take the leaps.
Exactly. It's just trying to have a normal conversation which inspires people is the way I try and think about it. But yeah, so your book's available. I mean, I got it off the Apple bookstore. Where can everyone get the book?
It's on Amazon. It's at WH Smith, Waterstones, Foyles, and all the other bookstores, really. So you can kind of get anywhere. And Amazon restocked. It sold out on the first day, which was kind of like mind-blowing for me. So yeah, they're restocked. It's yeah, anywhere. Silver Linings.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. And I'm sure we'll keep in touch. But yeah, no, thank you for everything you're doing and for the positive messages. Like, dark times, but there's a big light that's come out at the end of the tunnel.
We'll keep it.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you, Jess. Now, I don't know about you, but I found that whole conversation just so inspiring. Now, I must apologise to Jess, because I was supposed to put this out ages ago, and there's a lot of stuff that's happened. And like Jess said, you've got to give yourself time to recoup, because otherwise, if you're going to help others, then you need to help yourself first. And this is very late, but if you... Honestly, I listen back to that now, making this podcast and putting it together, and I take so much inspiration out of so many parts of it, and still every day Jess inspires me. Her book, like she said, it's available on Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones, Apple Books, the whole book world hemisphere online where you can purchase it. Silver Linings, go get it, go get inspired. Yeah, thank you so much, Jess, for joining. It was amazing, and it's really worth a read. As soon as you start the book, not even getting into the first chapter, you get so many inspiring quotes. One of my favorite quotes is that we can't change the past, but we can learn from it. And I guess that's the main thing. There is always a silver lining, and Jess has been through a lot of hardships. There's a lot of stuff that's happened, and she's come out the other side. Absolutely amazing. So inspiring. So once again, Jess, thank you very much. Now, I don't know when the next episode's going to be. Like I said, I've just been taking a break, but there will be more episodes coming out. You can follow Jess on Twitter and on Instagram, and like I said, go buy her book. It's on Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones, Apple Books, literally everywhere. You can go onto my website for the Amazon link at joeplum.org. You'll see the lovely little slider thing, and you'll see Jess's book cover there. Go buy it. It's worth a read. I hope everyone's safe and well. It's Sunday that this has been released today. It's about, what, 2 months after me and Jess recorded this. Yeah, have a lovely Sunday. We're getting to the end of, hopefully, the last lockdown. Restrictions are lifting. But be kind to one another. Look out for one another. Be kind to yourself. And wishing everyone lots of love. Sending lots of virtual hugs. And yeah, buy Silver Linings and go follow Jess. Speak to everyone soon. Lots of love. This is Togetherness.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.